This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
For the halacha share tonight, I've chosen the topic of Pidgin HaBen. I've chosen this topic because it's very tangentially related to the parasha. This week's parasha, Lot, is captured. It's a din of Pidgin Shavuyim, where you redeem captives. So there's an idea of Pidgin in this week's parasha. But I must say, very selfishly, I've looked into the sugya because on Yom Kippur, my wife and I became grandparents. And today, this afternoon, we did the Pidgin HaBen. And it was obviously very special. So I thought I would look into the topic and explore this and share some of the ideas that I've come across in the short slot that we have for halacha. So the pasuk says, Ach podei tifte es b'chor ha'odom. It's a mitzvah seim in our Torah to redeem a firstborn. Of course, there are many halachas involved in this, and it's the firstborn. It's quite a rare event because both parents can be neither Kohanim or Levim, a Bas Kohen and a Bas Levi. It has to be the first child, it has to be a male, and born of a natural birth, not a cesarean or anything like that. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yerudei and Simon Shinhei, Mitzvah sase liftos es kol ish mi Yisrael b'moshe b'chor li'imah ha'yisraelis b'heisloim. So this is a mitzvah sase, which is not such a common mitzvah, as I say. What's the background? Why is there this mitzvah? So the Chinuch gives two reasons. The Chinuch says, if you look in the third box, on the sheet, and if you're listening online, please email me, j.golker@gmail.com. The Chinuch in Mitzvah Yudches, mitzvah number 18, says this. Mishar she ha-mitzvah, perhaps of the origins, the roots of the mitzvah is, she-rotza Hashem le-zakuseinu la-asos mitzvah bereshis pirienu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that firsts are always precious, and therefore the first of our children should be to remind us, to merit us, le-mandas ki ha-kol shelay, that ultimately everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve-ein lo la-odim dova ba-olam, Rak Mashi Chalik LeHashem Yisbarach, and all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, everything that we have is really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yovin ze b'roisei ki acha sheyiga ha'odom kama yigiyos. After a person toils very hard, v'torach kama trochim ba'ilomoi, v'yigiyo lezman she'osa pri, he has reached the good fortune of getting married and having children. V'choviv olov reishis piryok baseino, and this first is very precious for him. Miyad noisne l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he sort of gives it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the first idea is that every first is precious to a person, and we demonstrate that this is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see that with many firsts, with Bikurim, with Challah, with Reishis HaGeiz, B'chor Adam, B'chor Behema, etc. That's the first idea. Then the Chinuch continues and says, another idea is, Lizker ha'neis ha'godl she'osolon Hashem Yisbaruch B'chor Mitzrayim she'. This reminds us that when the Egyptian firstborns were slain, that the Jewish firstborns were in danger as well. And they were not free from sin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared them. And the Sepharno adds a little bit further on the pasuk there in Bamidbar Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Sepharno says the following, Omnom, b'makas b'chorish shehoyu ha-b'chorish ru'im le'onish. The firstborns were also were going to be punished, but oven hadar, because of the sins of the generation, they didn't merit to be spared. Va'ani hitzaltim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I saved the firstborns. They were worthy to perish with the Egyptian firstborns. Va'ani hitzaltim b'mashigdashtim li, and I sanctified them. Be'inyin shehu asurim nis'asik ba'avodas hejet. And really, therefore, any bechor is not allowed to be involved in a mundane activity. Kamishpat kol hegdash, like any other din of hegdash, any other item which is set aside for service to the Beis Hamikdash or for some sort of sacramental purpose. Uleman yiyu mutarim bazeh, in order for a human being, for a bechor to live a normal life, hitzrachtim pidgin, we need to redeem him kamishpat kol hegdash hayotzei lechulin. So that is really the idea behind it. What about the women? Why is it that the firstborn girls don't have a pidgin haben? So the Chidah says, if you look at the first bullet point, the women in Mitzrayim were free of sin, and therefore the firstborn girls were not in danger when HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the firstborns, and therefore they don't need to be redeemed. there are other, there's lots to say on this. Another question is, if all the Egyptian firstborns were killed, i.e. the firstborns of the mother and the firstborns of the father, why is it that this mitzvah, Pidgin HaBen, only applies to the firstborn of the mother? That's the kasha that everyone asks. And also, another question is, that Rabbi Akiva Eger answers both of these questions. The second question is, that the Bnei Yisrael were warned to stay indoors, lest the Malach Hamavis, the angel of destruction, destroy them. But the slaying was performed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So how does that work? So those are the two questions. Why is it all the Egyptian firstborns were slain, and yet we only have the pigeon, the firstborn of the mother, not of the father? And second of all, who was it? Was it the Malach? Was it HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rabbi Akiva Eger says an interesting answer. He says that the identity of the firstborn of a father is not known. It's known only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a public fact. But the identity of the firstborn of the mother, however, that's not hidden. That is known. It's visible. Therefore, the firstborns of the Egyptians, of the men, were slain by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he, only he, knew who they were. But the firstborns of the Egyptian women, they were killed by the Malach. And therefore, the Jewish firstborns of the fathers, they weren't in danger because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew not to harm them. But the miraculous protection was only for the Jewish firstborns of the mother. So with that, Rabbi Akiva Eger answers both of those questions. According to the Sephardim we just mentioned, that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been kind of them, they belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they need to be redeemed. Why does the money go to the Kohen? So we know that it's one of the 24 Matnas Kohuna. The Kohen gets certain privileges, he gets Truma, he gets other financial gifts. And this is one of the 24 gifts that is given to the Kohen. The Chasam Sofer says in Tshuvas, he says, Pidgin shepoidim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki li kol b'char. Really, the money should go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. El Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosen pidgin l'kohen. He, however, chose to give it to the Kohen, and therefore this is one of the Matnas Kohuna. Now, the interesting question is, you obviously have the whole ceremony. The son brings the child on the father, I mean, brings the child to the Kohen, and it's a beautiful ceremony. The cushion is decorated with jewelry, zekeli va'anvehu, and there's a conversation that takes place between the Kohen and the father. The Kohen is the person who redeems him. Now, how do you choose the Kohen? There is a priority, an order of priorities in Halacha, but the first question is, how do we know that a Kohen is a Kohen? So amazingly, the Yaivetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, says that you're quite right. Nowadays, we're not absolutely certain who is a Kohen. And any Kohen who claims to be a Kohen is only based on a chazaka, but not on any absolute certainty. And therefore, the Yaivetz says something astonishing. The Yaivetz says in Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Nun Hei, this is the paragraph 4, Ro'isi lahaske b'inyan, mashenoagin harbe kohanim lahachsir ha-pidyon. Many Kohanim, when they get the money, you give the 5 siloim, which is worth, 100 grams or whatever of silver, which is worth, $100, £100. This is £100, it can be more even. That is given to the Kohen, says the Yaivetz, the Kohen should give it back. Even though the Gemara doesn't like it so much, that's because in those days, the Kohanim were miyuchasim. We knew absolutely that they were Kohanim. But nowadays, the Kohanim are just b'chazaka. We just assume they're Kohanim. And therefore, what right do they have to take the money with certainty? And therefore, they should give it back. The Chasam Sofer, however, argues. He argues with his Yaivetz in the Chelik Beis in Yerodeh Simon Reish Sadi Hei. And the contemporary practice is indeed that the Kohen keeps the money. If he wants to give the money back as a gift to the father, then of course he's entitled to do so. But the Chasam Sofer argues with the Yaivetz. Lots more to say on that. The Chasam Sofer has other concerns that if we do it, with a Chazara, that it's automatic, that might make the actual pigeon, the redemption, questionable. Interestingly, it's well known that the Vilna Gaon was a firstborn. He was a Bechor. And he, when he became an adult, repeatedly was poyed to himself. Whenever he met a Kohen, often when he met a Kohen, he would say to the Kohen, can you please be poyed to me? Because he was never certain that the Kohen, the previous Kohen, was indeed a Meyuchas Kohen. And therefore, if you look at the next box, in Pidgin HaBen Kehilchasoi, He says something amazing. Bizmaneinu ein lanu kohanim miyuchasim, ki im kohani chazaka. We have kohanim who are just muchzakim. We assume that they are kohanim. Ach yesh mishpachas yiduas. There are some families who are miyuchas, who their genealogy is verified. Kogoin mishpachas Rappaport, or kahana, the nechte hashach, the grandchildren of the great shach, the chadoimer. If you can find them, kohanim who are miyuchas, then great. There are some people in the community that before the war they had a shtar yuchsin, verifying that they were indeed kohanim. But the war turned the world upside down, and the shtar yuchsin was lost. I know a family who had that. But either way, he carries on in the Pidgin Haben Kilchoso, and he tells of the Vilna Gaon. He says, "Ubesefer Elias Eliyahu." But when the Gaon went to the famous Rappaport Kohen, then he went there, and the way I heard the story is that after that he didn't feel it necessary to go to any other Kohen to redeem himself, because he found the Kohen as Miyuchas. That, you know, the fact that he didn't go to anyone after that, I didn't actually see that in the Sefer, but that's the way I originally heard it. The Darkei Tshuva interestingly says that a relative comes before a Talmud Chacham, and therefore the order of priorities for choosing a Kohen is this. Number one, you can try and find a Kohen who is Miyuchas, who can verify the fact that he is a Kohen. Number two, the next priority is a relative, a Kohen who is a relative. Baruch Hashem, this afternoon, my wife's father is a Kohen, so he served as the Kohen for the Pidgin HaBen. And the next one is an Oni, a poor Kohen who could do with the money. And lastly, a Talmud Chacham. That's the priority of choosing a Kohen. And one final thing regarding the Su'uda for the Pidgin HaBen. Well, first of all, lots of things. One should have a Su'uda, preferably with meat. The custom is to distribute small packages of containing sugar cubes and garlic. And the sugar and the garlic is taken home, used to flavor other foods, which is eaten by people who are unable to attend the meal. And in this way, many people will share in the merit of a Su'uda of a Pidgin HaBen. And the Su'uda of a Pidgin HaBen is a very special occasion. The tradition is that anyone who partakes of a Su'udas Pidgin HaBen is rewarded as if he has fasted 84 days. Where does the 84 come from? There's no clear source for this, but there is an allusion to it in the Pasuk. It says, Vayikach Moshe es kesef ha-pidyoim. Pidyoim is pei dalad yoim. 84, pei dalad yoim, 84 days. And also Yaakov Avinu was 84 years old when his Bechor Reuven was born. It's another allusion to it. But either way, you distribute those sugar cubes and garlic, and then other people can use it. And that way, many people who are unable to attend the meal can share in the merits of this important Su'uda, this important occasion. Mitz Hashem, we should all be zocher to see many simchas and happy occasions together. Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.